In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. If you travel the world, numerous churches still have their creche up. This may seem confusing. Isn't Christmas over? Shouldn't it have come down with the decorations at Twelfth Night? Now, the creche, like a Christmas tree, is intentionally placed in any home and many a place of worship until Candlemas, our festival of light next week. It is not placed as a seasonal decoration, but a statement of faith in the incarnate Jesus. Creches, as we had our very own here, come in all shapes and sizes, and the most striking examples bear the face and character of the culture in which it resides, reminding us, like at Epiphany, the incarnate Jesus is at the heart of Epiphany, where he is revealed to all peoples and his face is seen in all nations. So here we are, Epiphany 4, and there's been a big shift in our lectionary since December as we prepared to greet Jesus in Advent, celebrated his birth at Christmas, and saw him revealed to the world at Epiphany. In these last 2 months, we have moved from a time of waiting to celebration, and now action. Preparation, incarnation, and revelation are connected, which says something about how God sees each of our lives as individuals and communities, and how he wants to enter into us to bring belonging, welcome, light, and wholeness. Since Epiphany Sunday, we have journeyed from the scene of that first creche, like the Magi, to travel home our different ways. In this time, we have heard how Jesus modeled baptism as a distinctive way of life. We have seen him celebrate and engage in extraordinary and ordinary ways at the wedding feast in Cana that we heard last week, where he revealed that no detail in our lives is beyond his concern. For him, no job is too small or insignificant. Today, something else is revealed about Jesus. At the start of his public ministry, where he heals a man with an unclean spirit. He's direct and decisive in his leadership, and he acts with immediacy. Mark even uses the word immediately 40 times in this gospel, giving us a compelling model not to get diverted, to put off, not to wait for someone else or make excuses about responding to God's call. Immediately. This writer's style keeps us on the edge of our seat. What's going to happen next? Who is this Jesus? What is his teaching? And teaching with authority? What do we mean by authority? What does it mean to you? A source, a reference, power, a command? This gospel celebrates and commands the arrival of the kingdom and Jesus' triumph over evil. His teaching and healing are seamless parts of the same powerful salvific work. And yet, as we heard, he encounters a mixed response. First, there's the disciples who are commissioned from this moment to do likewise in their ministry. Others are astonished at his teaching. They feel a need to examine things closely to assess whether Jesus is acting in accord with scripture and tradition. He's under scrutiny, perhaps like when a new rector shows up and everyone watches his every move. And then among the scribes, he is considered to be sacrilegious. Maybe they're jealous. Maybe they're fearful of their future. Jesus poses a threat to the scribes. However, Jesus, unlike them, teaches with personal authority. His authority is based neither on his credentials nor on his ability to cite precedents, but on the Spirit that descended on him at his baptism. Now, the other central figure, of course, in the narrative is the man with or in an unclean spirit. It's surprising to find him in the synagogue, for his status would deem him ineligible for worship. The gospel writer Mark uses unclean spirit and demon almost interchangeably, suggesting ritual impurity or unworthiness and evil. And talk of spirits, demons, exorcism often seems primitive, makes us uncomfortable today. Perhaps we prefer to speak of poverty, addiction, mental illness as the cause of bizarre or uncomfortable behaviour. We like to keep these things at a distance, other than not part of us and certainly something we want to hide away from. Many of us struggle with illness in its broadest sense and use euphemisms. He's not very well. She's got, you know. Things aren't right there. He's not coping. In our modern world, there are still so many taboos around all types of illness, and we are clumsy in sometimes even naming it. So perhaps the unclean spirit of our gospel is just how they describe a disease or struggle to find a name for it, to understand it, or even have a diagnosis. And to this, Jesus responds directly, not with words of explanation, but words of power. Be quiet and come out of him. He uses no incantations or formal liturgy, but simply orders the spirit to come out of the man. The spirit comes out, mangling, tearing, convulsing the man, and crying with a loud voice. Jesus will also cry with a loud voice at his death. So perhaps the spirit's cry is a death wail. However, Mark does not tell us the fate of this exorcised spirit or of the man now healed. We don't even know his name. Perhaps this anonymity makes this narrative more accessible to any one of us. Could it be you or me? What are our unclean spirits, the things that bind us, the things that need healing? Jesus is, after all, interested in the detail, in the small things that matter to us. He doesn't respond on a triage basis on the priority of responses in the emergency room. What unclean spirits are pestering us? What are the voices that hold us back, that make us feel unworthy? Jesus says, be silent and come out. What are we all holding back from? Perhaps sharing with the clergy or a trusted friend? Perhaps even our doctor or other professionals? Jesus came to show us that each of us is welcome in the kingdom of God. And that's right here, right now. Jesus speaks to us directly and calls out of us what impedes our growth, as well as bringing us a new teaching that invites us to explore who we are called to be in this season of epiphany, of revelation, as we draw to the light of Candlemas. In his journey in healing ministry, Jesus readily demonstrates the interconnectedness of our lives with others, the interconnectedness of all aspects of our personal lives, and especially in the recent week of Christian unity, the interconnectedness of our shared faith story, which is all linked by a common thread of Jesus' compassion and love, not just for what is complete, but what is broken. He is interested in our whole lives and offers to make whole the parts that are hidden, cracked, hurting, and fragmented. Today we've heard how Jesus acts to restore a person to wholeness of body and inclusion in the community. So, as we each ask to receive his healing, how too are we to be healers? How are we to bring others to a sense of peace, belonging, wholeness in body, mind, and spirit, and together walk in the light of God? Amen.